is God's first statement to us. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That was the sonship mandate. That still applies to us today. God is still wanting to bless us, empower us to succeed in doing this, but we need to be fruitful, and we need to learn how to multiply so that we can fill the earth and overcome all the obstacles that are in the way, and as sons of God, rule in the kingdom. Genesis 12:2 was another reenactment of that when God spoke to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, so you shall be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that was God's desire. So we're all Abraham's children, and we're blessed to be a blessing. So we need to know how to be blessed, and we need to know how to use that blessing to bless other people. And then Jesus gives the same commission to the disciples, and therefore to us, Matthew 28, should be 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so if he has all the authority, and he's telling us to do something, then we have all the authority to do it. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations. And literally, it means disciple the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you to do. And most of what he commanded them to do can be summed up in one thing, love. Love each other as I've loved you, so the world may see. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. So he's with us today to enable us to fulfill this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, that still applies to every one of us. We have a destiny that he has for us that he will empower us to fulfill if we put our trust in him. So God has a plan for each of us to prosper, to empower us to succeed. The question is, will we embrace that plan, or will we try to work out our own plan and do it our own way in our own strength? Because we have the right to do that because he's given us free will to choose. So God has built faith, fruitfulness, and multiplication into creation through the principles of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, right from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through. So we need to understand the nature of the seed, how to sow and to reap from an earthly and a heavenly perspective, because there's different parts of this to outwork. Now, just as an aside, the garden of our heart is also a place where we can sow and reap. Because just as Adam and Eve were given the garden on earth, that garden is now within us. So each of us has within our hearts a place to cultivate and tend so it becomes fruitful so we can multiply in it. So we can sow a testimony of the encounters we have with God, the things that we do in the kingdom. As seeds, we water it with the river of life. We can speak creatively to it to tell them to grow. And then the seeds grow and produce fruit that we can reap. We can eat that fruit and re-enter into the blessing that we have as a testimony. And we can give it away to others. So that's one area where we can actually sow into our own lives so our lives become fruitful in a demonstration of God's kingdom within. And I was talking to God about finances and various things before I started teaching this. And God said this, son, if you want to be blessed in every way, including finances, then you need to use heavenly principles, which is pretty obvious. Provision, as with all things, must be established in heaven first. There are four keys to receiving provision through my blessing. The first key is being a living sacrifice and not owning anything independently from me. The second key is having an attitude of sonship, not stewardship, by living loved in intimacy with me. The third key is being dead to self-sufficiency and independence by trusting and depending on me for everything, not living from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. The fourth key is living by the faith that I give you in regards to salvation, blessing, provision, resources, finances, sowing and reaping. You are sons of the King with all the resources of heaven at your disposal if you operate in my economy. So take that and use it as you will. Because if God spoke that to me, then it didn't just apply to me. It applies to all of us. So he then carried on to say, son, it's time to open the revelation of the storehouses of heaven so my people will understand the true financial trading. Engage the treasury house, open its mysteries to the light of truth. show my people the extent of my resources, the inexhaustible supply of wealth that is the blessing, including in their man's state of sonship. Reveal my true nature as a loving father, a true provider, who desires to partner with my children by imparting the wisdom and power to receive and use wealth as co-heirs of my kingdom. So if the Father said that, I wonder if Jesus said anything about giving and provision, because he was a full representation of the Father on earth, and the things he did is an example to us because he is an example of a son. So was Jesus really bothered about money? Well, he was given gold when he was a child and given some precious things, and actually people gave him money all the time. He was blessed. He also was a builder, so he had a business before he went into ministry, which I'm sure was successful. I'm sure he made the best things that could be made, being creative. So the answers are yes and yes to those questions. The issue of giving and finances did stir Jesus to action. He challenged the religious system over and over, including sweeping the temple clean for money changers and those who were using finances incorrectly, calling the house of prayer a den of thieves. And he challenged individual hearts regarding giving. He said, you can't be my disciples unless you give everything, which was quite a challenge and still is a challenge for us today. So there are a number of prerequisites regarding giving that Jesus reveals. Giving to God is our first priority. Giving with pure heart motives, not giving according to our own understanding, not getting into debt through giving, giving what we owe to others, e.g. paying our taxes, using what he gives us wisely, using what he gives us for his kingdom. So Matthew 21:21 says, then he said to them, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So that's a statement that Jesus made. It still applies to us today. So I wonder how our attitude towards giving taxes, do we resent it? Are we happy giving our tax every month or week to the government? Sorry, could say enemy. Better not say that. Well, the reality is, if actually we have a good attitude with it, then we can see that as sowing into the kingdom. Because does not God want government to be there to see that we're blessed? Says in the Word of God, to pray for those who are in authority over us. So giving can be seen as sowing. So all your tax you can actually see as sowing, so you can have it multiplied. Now that's a different way of looking at giving to the tax man, isn't it? So if we sow with that attitude to bless the country we live in, to bless the people of the country, to bless those who need a health service, those who need other things, then our attitude towards it changes. And we can use that as a good thing that God will want us to do. Now, Mark 12:41 says this, and he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. That's quite an interesting statement. So he was so interested in the attitudes of people and what people were doing that he actually sat and watched them. I wonder how comfortable you would feel if he actually sat over there and watched whether you put anything in the basket or not. Well, actually, he does, of course. Because he's actually here and he's with you and he's in you and everything else. So he knows everything. And in this, he said, many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them. So he was using this as something to show a point, which is a kingdom point. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. It was like, woo. So she was all in, and she put total trust in God's provision. So he was showing something there. Not that we necessarily have to give everything away, but what's our attitude in giving, and where is our trust? Because if we've got lots and we give, well, we still got lots. If we haven't got an awful lot and we give, then we then do need to be looking at where we trust. So would you like Jesus to observe what you're doing? Well, as I said, he is. So what is Jesus looking at? What does he see when he looks into our hearts? Does he see a pure heart? Does he see a generous heart? Does he see someone who longs to give and sees it as a blessing to give and bless others? Are we only giving our lives to God from our surplus? any spare time left over once we finished all our DIY. And that's not physical DIY. It's just doing our own thing. So after we've done all the things we want to do, is there any time left in God? Are we so hard at work doing our own thing that we've got nothing left? Or what we do have left is pretty much second best rather than our priority? Because Jesus is looking at that. He wants to know whether we're seeking first the kingdom, what's the attitude of our heart, how are we looking at our lives and what we do with them on a day-to-day basis. So if we give from our spiritual poverty, we will be blessed. That's a kingdom attitude. But what does that mean? I don't want to be spiritually in poverty. Well, actually, I do. Because what that is saying is, I don't have anything to give out of my own strength. All I have to give is what he's given me, which is my life. And in Matthew 5:3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So everything that we need from the realm of heaven is available to us when we stop trying to get it out of the earth. And in the message, it says this, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more room for God and his rule. So when we get out of the way and stop trying to do it in our own strength, then he has the capacity to do everything we need. And the testimony of Linda earlier, she didn't do it in her own strength. She trusted in God in this difficult situation, and she put God's principles in forgive and release into practice, and God sorted it out. He will sort it out if we get out of the way and let him. But if we demand to do it our way, then we'll get what we'll get out of what we do. And that will be very different from what God wants to give us. There's no room for materialism, doing it our way in this. So our provision and our authority come from God's faithfulness if we will trust him to provide. God has planted us into the world as sons of the kingdom with an expectancy that we will increase and be fruitful. So there are a parable about the talents. A talent was an amount of money. Jesus reveals, using this parable, principles of using what God gives us wisely for the overall increase of his kingdom. So there is an expectation that whatever God gives and entrusts to us will be multiplied for God's kingdom purposes and not just used for ourselves or DIY purposes. Doesn't mean God doesn't want us to be blessed and to have enough for all our needs. He does. But he wants us also to be able to use what he's given us for all the good deeds. So Matthew 25:15, to one, this is the parable of the talents, he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, each according to his own ability. So there's a sense there where God will give us different amounts and different things because we've got a different destiny. I don't need someone else's gifts to fulfill my destiny. I need what God's given me. I need to use my redemptive gift, and I need to use the abilities and who he's made me to be. So I don't have to compare myself to anyone else. So someone in the kingdom may need quite a lot of money to do what God wants them to do, and someone else may not. So he only gives you what you need. But what you do with what he's given you is the important thing. Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I've gained five more talents. So in other words, I've used it to make more. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave or servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So here's a key of what happens when we use what God's given us for God's purposes first. We will eventually get more. And we will not just get more, we will have more authority and more power to do more. And we will then enter into the joy of that. Because there's joy when we enter into God's kingdom. Verse 24, it says, the one who had received one talent came up to him and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Now, that's a lie. I don't know where he got that from, probably the religious system. But I was afraid. He didn't need to be afraid. And went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. So bottom line is, he didn't do anything with what God gave him for God's purposes. And the master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew I reap where I did not sow, gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to at least put the money in the bank, and on my arrival I have received my money back with interest. So at least do something with it rather than nothing. So there's a principle that if we're faithful with what we have, we'll be given more, both in this age and in the ages to come. And there's an instance there where it's talking about using the resources and then having more authority to rule. I'm putting you in charge of these things. So if we trust him as a child and enter into the things on earth, which we would see as things that are helping us to mature, then we will be given more things to rule in heaven and more authority as a son. We're all sons, but are we baby sons, toddler sons, teenage sons? Perish the thought. Or are we mature sons? And if we're mature sons, he's going to entrust us with more. We all have many opportunities to be faithful with our lives by prioritizing our time and money wisely, doing what God calls us to do. Proverbs 3:5, again, Proverbs was written by Solomon, who was a man known for his wisdom. He asked God for wisdom, and he wrote these Proverbs out of the wisdom that God gave him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. And this is a very famous proverb, and it's a real key proverb to understanding how to live. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Not just some of your ways, but all of them. If we acknowledge some of his ways, then our path won't be straight. We won't know where to go. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And we know evil there is not just bad things, but it's actually the hardships of doing things in our own strength, the wrong path. Verse 8, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So if you want health and wholeness, we're going to get health and wholeness when we're living out of the resource that comes out of God's kingdom. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There was, again, the promise that if we trust in God, then we give to God, then he will give back to us, so we will always have enough and it will overflow to others. So giving made simple. Let's break it down, finishing this in terms of what we actually need to do. There's the heavenly part, engaging God for a mandate of what to sow. Then there's the earthly part, sowing the seed where God shows us. Then there's the heavenly part, engaging the treasury room of heaven to exchange or trade the seed for increase to our account. And that's probably the bit that we probably don't really have enough full understanding on. So the first part, some people might do that. Second part, hopefully some people will do that. God wants all of us to do that. But all three of these things are needed if we're going to enter into the fullness of what God wants. It is simple, but we need to learn how to do it. Jesus taught about giving, sowing, or trading. Luke 6:38, give, good start, and it will be given to you. There's the principle. They will pour into your lap. I wonder who they are. Those that God has assigned, whether the angelic realm, whether people, they will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For the measure you, standard of measure you measure, it will be measured into you. So there's a proportionality about this, or a multiplication. Don't give much, you're not going to receive much. Give more, but only give, obviously, what God says. If you give more than what God says, then he's not going to bless it. He'll just bless the bit that he told you to give. So he wants us to do what he says. When we seek first God's kingdom on earth, God will meet our needs as his children. So he is, as children, providing for us. But he wants us to grow up so that we can learn to provide with the wisdom he gives us. So God desires to teach us about the family business. We're part of the kingdom. We're co-heirs with him in the kingdom. So we can mature in sonship and learn how to actually operate in the kingdom of God, not just calling out God, asking him to meet our needs. He wants us to show us how we can actually do these things in relationship with him. So God wants us to have the wisdom to get wealth and use wealth. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, empowered us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So that is where we need to start, because that's where the blessings are, in the heavenly places. The empowerment to prosper and succeed in fulfillment of our destiny is found in heavenly places first. Colossians 3:1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, well, we have, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and where we're seated also. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So there's the encouragement to not look at all the circumstances around us, but to look at it from a different perspective when we're seated in that place from heaven. So do we have an earthly or heavenly mindset when it comes to provision and finances? Where are we looking? Are we looking purely around, looking for where the money might come from? Or are we doing something in heaven that releases the blessings there to come here? Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the key principle that God wants us to embrace. So provision comes from us accessing heaven, preparing things in advance there in heaven so they can manifest here. And that's the bit that I'm not sure most people know what to do in that. So we can get a mandate for giving just as we get a mandate for everything else, to see what the Father's doing, what he wants us to do, and then be able to do it. Because if we don't know what the Father wants us to do, how are we going to do it? We'll be guessing. That's why the tithe was a sort of fallback position if you don't know how to hear what God says. But if you know what to hear, what it says, because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice, then you'll know what to do because you'll ask him and he'll tell you or show you. So if we engage heaven in panic because we don't have enough today, it's an indicator that we've not prepared for now in the past. So we need to prepare in advance. How do we prepare? How do we do it? How do we prepare something in advance? Well, ask God daily what to do, not just for today, but what today will do for the future. Because that's what you have to do, prepare for the future. So some of what we're doing today is not to be reaped today. It's to sow today so we can reap when we need to reap it. So we don't need to know everything about our destiny to be able to do this. Sometimes people, I want to know my scroll, I want to know everything that's coming, so then I can do it. We just need to trust God day to day, because he'll reveal day to day what we need to know and what our destiny is today in regards to what our destiny is in the future. We just need to know what to do today. And if that is giving today, then to give. And it may not be. We don't have to give necessarily every day financially, but we do need to give every day of ourselves, because we need to be a living sacrifice, which in other words, surrenders our life to God's purposes every day. And some of those days, he has specific things for us to do. So when we prepare in advance, the resources are already moving towards us. They're already on their way because they're prepared in an initial form. A harvest doesn't become a harvest in an instant. It grows. So when you sow the seed, you don't go out and dig it up and eat it the next day. You have to wait for it to produce roots and shoots and then eventually fruit. And I went to Brazil and I went to the Amazon River and I was amazed by how big it was. I just could not believe that you had to cross it on a ferry, like a big car ferry, even to get across it. And it was so immense. You know, I thought it was a jungle river, you know, but actually it is a jungle river, but it's 5 miles wide in some places. I mean, it's huge. And there's billions and billions and billions of gallons of water flowing out into the sea. And then a few years ago, I was watching a nature program, and it actually says this is showed the source of the Amazon. And it's a little trickle coming out of a mountain somewhere in Peru, like a little trickle. And I think, well, how can that trickle possibly end up in billions of gallons of water? Well, it wouldn't unless it started as a trickle. So what we do in heaven is preparing the trickle that as that trickle begins to flow, it draws other trickles, if you like, or streams or things to all come together to actually provide the flood. So God wants us to prepare so it starts moving. Not to think we're going to have an instant Amazon, because you can't get an instant Amazon. It takes thousands of miles for it to flow, for it to eventually go out into the sea. So we need to be looking at what we need to fulfill our destiny, for example, in 2 years' time today, not in 2 years' time. Because if in 2 years' time we are looking at it, we will not prepared for it to be ready for us then. So we need to start in advance. And that's just an example. I'm not saying you have to look at everything as 2 years, but look and ask God what you need to know for the future. So then we can deliberately, specifically engage God about what to sow now for the future harvest so that that trickle eventually becomes a flood and we are able to embrace it. So we only need to do what we see the Father doing. That is what Jesus did. That's what we need to do. And if we're looking at it in regards to giving or sowing, we can give cheerfully, relationally, filled with love, joy, and peace when we know we're doing what he wants us to do. Now, Jesus said to the woman at the well when his disciples were there and to others, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So I have food that you don't know of. So his provision, when he was doing what God called him to do, was something that was not just seen physically, but was a representation that God would supply all his needs to enable him to do it. So when we are only doing what the Father's will is, then as Jesus got a mandate to do that, we can get a mandate to do that, and then we can draw from the supply that Jesus did, which was from his Father in heaven. So where do we prepare in heaven? Where do we go? What do we do? How do we do it? There are questions, obviously, I'm going to answer. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So when we go into the Holy of Holies, we go into that place where the ark of the presence of God is, where the four faces of God manifest, and we can step into the four faces of God, and we can be in the name of God, then we can engage the ark and the four faces, and we can discern what God's will is for us. Because it will align with our destiny on a daily basis, and we can know what to do. Now, you take all the guesswork out when you go and find out. And God wants us to go and find out what it is he wants us to do. So we can go and prepare in that place every day. Engaging the four faces of God is one place where we can receive our mandates for today and our future. Now, there are lots of other places. You can be on your throne and God can give you wisdom or insight. You can go and engage wisdom. You can go to the Father's throne. There's lots of places you can go, but this, for me, is the place I go mostly, because it is representation of what's in the ark, is the manna, the pot of manna, which is the supply to enable us to fulfill the will of God. There is the tablets of stone, which now is represented on our hearts, so God writes on our hearts, and there's Aaron's rod, which is a symbol of authority because it budded, it was fruitful. So this is where I tend to go. When he writes it on our hearts, it becomes our desire and our motivation. So when God reveals something of our destiny, it draws us towards it. So our food or resources come from knowing God's will for us by seeing what the Father's doing, and that's one place to do that. So the mandate for the seed is received in heaven. Then we can give from a cheerful heart, willingly, not under compulsion, on earth. So we've got to give it somewhere. It's no good God saying, I want you to give if you don't do it. So give it wherever it is. Giving with kingdom intent and purpose calls forth the blessing of creative multiplication. So you start things moving. Sowing seed as an offering is a covenant exchange. Now, we don't really sort of know covenant as well today as they did in the Old Testament and in those days, because they did everything by covenant. And God made covenants with Adam. He made covenant with Abraham. He made covenants with Moses. He made covenants with David. He made lots of agreements. So it's like a contracted agreement. So this exchange is when we give, we are trading an exchange into destiny, into our destiny, trusting God for the multiplication of the seed. The reaping becomes our provision in the future. So what stops us giving, sowing, or trading? And there are lots of things that could do that, but we need to be aware if any are. Fear, disappointment, lack of knowledge, lack of trust, lack of relationship, slavery mentality, poverty mentality, greed, selfishness, not living by Jesus' faith, lack of seed. Now, lack of seed is one which we can do something about, because God promises seed to the sower. So if you haven't got any seed, then you need to ask God for wisdom. But he has given us a system to enable seed to multiply. So many people say they don't have anything to sow because they don't have enough full stop. Well, I don't believe that is true, because we've all got choices of what we do with what we do have. Now, unless you've got absolutely nothing, that's a problem. But we all got something. So I wouldn't encourage you to sow to get into debt. If you're in debt, don't sow to get into it, but start somewhere. Now, giving multiplies even from one small seed, and this is the amazing thing about increase, you have to start somewhere. So for example, let's say God asks you to give £1,000. You're like, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. I haven't got £1,000 to give. If we don't have it, what do we do when God has told us to do it? Well, God told us to do this once and told us to give £1,200 and we didn't have £1,200. So we're like, well, what are we supposed to do? So, well, what can you give this month? So we decided we could give £100 a month, which would be £1,200 in the year. So we did that. And actually, God's continued to ask us to do that. So we always do that because God has not said, stop doing it. So what do? Start with a little. How many people have got a penny or could get hold of a penny? Well, I think probably everyone could start with a penny, couldn't you? So if you sow it, then you can receive a multiplication of that penny, get a pound. So when you receive that pound, then what do you do with the pound? Well, spend some of it, but sow 10 pence. So if you sow 10 pence out of the pound, what are you going to receive? £10. So if you sow £1 out of the £10, then you can receive £100. So the cycle continues if you keep sowing with expectation and gratitude. So start somewhere and then be sensitive to when some money comes to you and then use it wisely. Because eventually you can sow £10 out of the 100 to receive 1,000. You don't even have to sow it all, because it's proportional if you're believing in a 100-fold increase. So we can sow the £1,000, and then what do? Well, what would we get if we sow £1,000 and we get a 100-fold return? £100,000. That's quite a lot. Now, what would God want us to do with £100,000? Well, he didn't say, did he? But it will be something he shows us what to do. And then that might be to give it, sow it, use it, buy a house with it, buy a car, do whatever he says to do it, because he told us to give in the first place because he had a purpose in mind. Sometimes we don't know what the purpose is in mind when he asks us to give, but we just need to be obedient. But all of us can start where we are and begin to trust God in this process. We can shorten that process at any time by sowing more. So rather than sowing 10p out of the pound, we could sow 50p, and then it would all multiply quicker. Or actually, any time, we can eat the food, the seed that we've got, and not have any way of sowing anymore, and so we start again. So all along the process, we've got to keep in mind that we're giving for a reason. The purpose is to do what God said. So the heavenly part is about taking the seed that we've sown on earth back into our treasury room in heaven to trade it so it can be multiplied. Then we can have more than enough to be able to do what God wants us to do. So we're never going to be blessed if we keep just doing the earthly stuff. We have to continue to engage in heaven. So Matthew 16:26 says this: what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? So you can have huge amounts of earthly riches and have no contentment or satisfaction or joy or love or peace in your soul. So it isn't about just having lots of money. It's about having the peace that comes in relationship and the joy that comes from being in relationship with God and doing God what he wants. So the most successful people on earth on that DIY path, and there are billionaires and millionaires, lots of them, usually are consumed by serving wealth. And they usually don't have time to fulfill God's destiny for their lives because they spend all their time getting more money. And most of them aren't really very happy. So there are those who operate with a wealth mentality for a philanthropic purposes, in other words, to bless others, that is their destiny. That's what God has called them to do. And they love making money because that's what they're called to do, because they're not consumed by it, because it's a purpose for a bigger purpose, which is they make money to be a blessing so that that money is a way of blessing others. And there are lots of people out there who have that desire. And there are people I know who are Christians who God told them to give 50% of all their earnings away, and he would bless them. And so they did. And they can't actually give away all the money. You know, there are people in history who are like that, who give and give and give, and they wanted to give it all away. And when they died, they had masses of it left as an inheritance because their heart was to bless. And that's what God is looking for from his children, that we will bless. So what do you do when you give? Do you just sort of toss it in the basket or send a bank transfer and not really think about it? Or is there something that we need to do? Is there a spiritual protocol that we do in heaven with what we've given on earth? Well, yes, there is. We need to trade it. We need to exchange it. So in the treasury house, there are many treasury rooms. And there's one for every one of us. And there's one for us corporately, as there is for all the other corporate things. There's a trading floor there, an area where you go and you present what you've given and exchange it or trade it. And we can trade not just with the financial stuff, we can go and present ourselves there as an offering as well. So where is the treasury house? How do we access it? Well, it's in heaven, it's in the heavenly realms, it's in the realm of heaven, and it's associated with the 12 chancellor's houses, the circle of the deep, the things that are aligned in heaven so that things can be outworked on earth. It's the last house where the precepts of God meet the precepts of God, where the beginning and the end meet. So it's where, when we sow, we reap. And that's how it all works. Now, you don't need to know all that. You just need to know how to get there. So how do you get there? By faith, by desire. So we, like everything else, we step in through the veil, which is torn and always open. Heaven's open. We all have an open invitation to come up here. And when we come up here, God is always waiting for us. So when we step into the heavenly realms, we can engage heaven. We can ask Jesus or the Father, wisdom, an angel, to take us to the treasury room. You don't need to have a map. Just ask them to take you there, because that's what they want to do. They want to be able to take you where you need to go. When we were looking about where our mountains are, we didn't know where they were, but Jesus took us and showed us. Then we can use that. So your treasury room is within the treasury house. Other names people have called it, I think people here call it room of infinite or unlimited resources, all that sort of stuff. Now, when we have given something, it has the capacity to increase and multiply if we keep giving from that perspective and have that attitude. Philippians 4:17, Paul talking to the Philippians. Remember last week I said this, I seek for the profit which increases to your account. This is where the account is. This is where our bank account is in heaven. This is where that is, that treasury room. So we take what's been sown with a cheerful heart here. If you don't sow with a cheerful heart here, you've got nothing to take there. If you're begrudging and giving or don't give, you've got nothing to go and trade with. But if you do give, and you give with a good heart, take it to the treasury house, engage with Melchizedek, who's the chief chancellor of heaven, who wants us to engage with him on that economic trading floor, that place where we give. So trade into your treasury room, exchange the seed that you've sown for multiplication so it becomes fruitful and increases to your heavenly account. So how do you do that? Well, I know what I do. You need to find out what you do. But there are words that we do. When we go to the trading floor, we trade spiritually with what we've given physically. The trade is a covenant contract or agreement that's accompanied by the words of faith or commitment that you feel led to make. So whatever you feel led to do when you trade it for, you say that. So you engage, for instance, I make this trade of £100, symbolic of my life, into my destiny. I give it up as an offering, sowing it into my heavenly account for its multiplication, for kingdom purposes and God's glory. Just a statement of something you can say when you give. Now, you can go and put something in the basket, and you can then step into heaven there and then, which is what I do. Or you can later on step into heaven when you've got some time, more time, if you want to do it and then. But then as a son of God, I trade for new covenant blessing so that I can be a blessing to others and fulfilled at my destiny. That's essentially what I might say when I go into the treasury room and exchange that. So trading is a covenant exchange. A covenant is a mutual agreement or contract with stipulations that is ratified by an exchange. Often a blood sacrifice in the Old Testament, blood brothers. And when God made a covenant with Abraham, there was a sacrifice, blood, and they walked through it, and it was agreed. And then they exchanged something. So a covenant is agreed in heaven is based on the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is already shed, so we can walk through that. It's a constant record of our favor with God. So covenant works when we agree what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. That's basically what a covenant said. So if we have that attitude, that all that I am, all that I have is available to God, then all that he is and all that he has is available to us. That's what covenant is. Jesus made that new covenant exchange for us, and we're now in it based on what he's done. So we cannot break that covenant because he made it, but we can benefit by operating in it. And when we operate in that new covenant, we can actually see the fulfillment of being blessed to be a blessing. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. It comes after your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's no point asking for daily bread unless we first acknowledged the kingdom and engaged in heaven first. So the treasury room has always got enough that we need to eat and to sow. And it will never be empty of seed, but it isn't full to overflowing. It will become full to overflowing when we sow into it. Some people think everything's in there, we just need to go and get it. It doesn't work that way. The bank account isn't full. The bank account is available with us, enough money for us to eat and to sow to make it full. And it will eventually become full to overflowing when we have sown into it to enable us to withdraw everything we need to fulfill our destiny. So it's not full, but it can be. As the capacity to be overflowing. So after we've got a mandate from heaven about what to give, after we've sown it on earth, and then we've traded it back in heaven, what next? Well, I would encourage you to relate to someone in heaven who will give you some insight in how to do and to operate. Melchizedek is the chief chancellor of the treasury house. He's a good guy to talk to if it comes to financial stuff. You may ask wisdom. You can talk to the angels. You can ask Jesus. But ask for advice and seek wisdom and a strategy of what you need to do. Because sometimes you need to do something that accompanies your giving. Engage the strategy court in heaven to get a plan of what to do. Use the wisdom and the wealth attitude that you have to rule and to reign from your mountain. So be seated in heavenly places in rest. When you're seated, it's an indication that you're resting, trusting in God, not frantically trying to do something. Rest, and then begin to rule and legislate and administrate what it is you need to fulfill your destiny. So frame your life out of that attitude of abundance and overflow with full expectation of wealth. Frame your life according to it. Don't frame your life according to poverty or lack. Frame your life according to that wealth. So what can we do? When we're sat on our mountain, we're trusting God, what do? Call things that be not as if they are. Create things. We have been given creativity of sons of God to create things. So there may be something that you need to create that doesn't exist yet. We can decree and declare the manifestation of the harvest in due season. Create an expectation. We can call forth the harvest when it's ready. We can send out angels on assignment as reapers to reap the harvest and bring the harvest so that we have what we need. These are all things we can do. We can actually, how do we reap the harvest? How do we actually get it? Why do we withdraw from that heavenly account? Because an earthly account, you can go with your card and stick it in and put the pin in and take money out. How do you do that from heaven? Galatians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart or in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So there's a due season and a time to reap. And we mustn't get weary in doing good and doing what God says and continually doing those things like calling it forth or doing what we need to do to create it so that when it comes, it's ready. So do whatever God says and keep trusting in God's provision until it comes to you. God can release finances to us in many, many different ways. If we receive every blessing, this is an attitude that I adopted many years ago. I basically said, everything I received, I'm going to take it that's coming from you, God. Then in doing that, then I can thank him and be thankful and grateful for everything that I receive. Because I've attributed all the resources available. Now, some of it may come through my job, some of it may come through something else. But if I'm thinking and believing this comes from you, God, then I am going to be blessed and grateful for it all. So there are many testimonies around, even here, of God's provision and all around for certain ways God provides. And some of them are very supernatural manifestations. I remember talking to someone when I was in Brazil who God had given them a pile of gold dust. They needed a certain amount of money because their house was going to be foreclosed on. And they were walking along and they sat down on the pavement, worn out, and went to sleep. And when they woke up, there was a pile of gold dust and they scooped it all up, actually took it and got it exchanged for money. And it was the exact amount of money they needed to actually buy their house. Now, where did that come from? Out of heaven, I would imagine, unless someone came and tipped it there. But even if they did, God would have inspired them to do so. There are testimonies of money appearing in people's bank accounts, never even know where it came from. There's testimonies of angels actually coming and giving people money, gifts by others inspired by God, unexpected income and tax rebates and inheritance, all sorts of different ways that finances can come. Now, we used to make blessing declarations. Jeremy put together a whole series of declarations and he used to lead us, he used to be on the screen, and we would make those declarations here in a whole understanding of finances and wealth and prosperity. Now, I would say that actually now we know how to step into heaven and now we know how to be seated in heavenly places, then actually that would be a better place to make those declarations. And when we've traded our finances, then we can begin to decree those things again. This is what the declarations were, just to remind you and give you something to maybe declare again. I am a prosperous person. Are you a prosperous person? I hope so. I'm a child of God and an heir of the living God. I have favor with God and he gives me favor with people. It is God who gives me the power to get wealth, so establishes his covenant. God has pleasure in my prosperity and he daily loads me with benefits. Now, if this isn't happening to you, probably because you haven't said it from that position or called it into being. Is it your expectation? Well, it becomes your expectation when you begin to live in it and decree it and call it forth. Blessings pursue me and overtake me, so I receive one blessing after another. The windows of heaven are open over me. I have a surplus of prosperity. I am blessed to be a blessing. God commands a blessing in my storehouse and in all that I undertake. God is always telling people to give me money and things. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of poverty. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for me. I am a money magnet. I attract wealth for the purpose of the gospel. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. I like that one. Because we're a distribution center here. We receive all sorts of things that we then distribute out to others and bless others and use it to help us do what we do in blessing people. That's what we do. In all things, at all times, I have all that I need for myself and more than enough for every good deed. I am a distributor of all that God entrusts me with. I give and receive good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My cup is full and overflowing. I prosper in all respects and keep well just as my soul prospers. I am a prosperous person. I give freely and I believe that I receive expected and unexpected income. Wages, salary, earnings, and other remuneration. Royalties, honoraria, fees and bonuses, pay rises, increments, promotions. Some of you want to be praying that. New and better jobs, new opportunities, new markets, new business. Profits and proceeds from sales. See, if we'd been wise enough to be asking God many years ago, probably like 8 years, 9 years ago, we would have invested in Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin was worth virtually nothing. And we could have bought £1,000 worth of Bitcoin. Now we will be billionaires. But we weren't asking God for that sort of insight. But we need to, because there may be another Bitcoin, or there may be some other way that God wants us to do it. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and invest in Bitcoin, but I'm saying be open for God to give you wisdom and insight into what to do. Because there are many things like that, that if we had done years ago, actually now we would be very, very blessed. Revenue from property, allowances, interest, dividends, annuities, pensions, matured insurance policies, rebates, refunds, repayments, reimbursements, compensation payments, restoration of property, gifts, presents, donations, contributions, benefits in cash and kind, prizes, rewards, ex gratia payments, legacies, inheritance, bequests, grants, endowments, and funding, sponsorships, scholarships, and bursaries, reduced prices, special rates, and special offers. You like those? Bargains, discounts, exceptional deals, and favors. You know, when I go shopping on a Thursday, I frame the fact that there are going to be some things there that are going to be reduced that I want to buy. And I always get something to eat on a Thursday night, because there's usually something there that actually I've called into being, and they've reduced just for me. Well, they have, because I've called it into being. See, we need to actually think differently about things. I'm not just going, I hope there's something there today. But actually, I want something to bless me. And I call it and create it so that I'm blessed. That's just a little thing, but it's a demonstration of attitude, of heart and belief. Because the favor of God is upon me and he delights in my prosperity. So let's finish by stepping into heaven. Let's go through the open door. Jesus is waiting, Father's waiting. Let's engage him in that open door. Let's ask him to take us to our treasury room in the treasury house so we can go and trade. And it, maybe you've got nothing to trade today, but you've given before. Or remember I said all the things that you probably have given that may have been under compulsion or in the wrong way, you can take that and redeem it and go and retrade it. And if you've never ever traded anything you've ever given in your life, then add it all up, approximately, and trade it today. So I encourage you to close your eyes. And again, by faith, heaven's open. Take a step of faith and enter into the realm of heaven. Jesus is waiting for us. He's waiting to engage us. The door is open. He invites us to step through that door. And as you step through the door, ask him to take you to the treasury room, to your treasury room, to your trading floor, the place where you can give whatever you've given on earth, and you can go and trade it there, exchange it so it can become multiplied within your heavenly account, and then you can then use what you've traded and begin to be creative as a son of God in administrating it and governing it. So God can pour out a blessing from heaven over us as we've been decreeing and declaring. So I just encourage you to go there and just trade with whatever you've given. So when you've finished trading, you can go to your mountain, sit down on your throne, and begin to, as your spirit leads, create, call forth, whatever you feel led to do, you can do that. So I encourage you to basically make this a way of living so that you seek God, you give, you trade, and you receive, and you can give more. Amen.